Chaplain Gabe.
Sir, if you could lead us in our invocation and pledge. It's good seeing you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone, too. Father, we're grateful to you for this opportunity in the dawning of this new year to be able to stand and sit and deliberate and articulate about the concerns of our city. We appreciate, Lord, your guidance, and we ask that you would give us the intellect and the know-how to make the decisions that will benefit this entire city. Let our conversation, Lord, be graced with the season of your word, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Andrea, call the roll.
Mayor Ures.
Here.
Ms. Heimbuckle.
Here.
Mr. Priester.
Here.
Mr. Gwynn.
Here.
Mr. Olin.
Here. If there's anyone in the audience that's here for the city manager discussion, we are going to be pulling that. Ms. Rich will not be able to be here tonight. She had to be admitted to the hospital. She's going to do okay. Got a little shoulder issue, and she's going to be back with us soon, but we're going to pull that. So if anyone here for that, we apologize for that. That just happened this morning, so we'll be pulling that from the agenda towards the end. City manager's report, I believe. Rick, you've got item 12, so we're going to remove that, and we'll schedule that at a later date. So just wanted to let anybody know, if you sit around for the rest of the fun and we get to that and we don't talk about that. So next, awards. Do we have any, Mayor, do we have anything tonight?
I didn't see anything tonight.
Yeah, nothing. Do we have any students with us? I don't see any students. Do we have any students with us tonight? No students. All right. Public comments. Item 3. Mr. Sink.
Thank you. Last meeting,
I need your name and address for the record. Sorry, we got to.
I should know that by now. It's Ron Sunny.
That's the one thing we can't change. We try to change a lot of stuff. We still got to know who you are.
Ron Sunny, 4626 Northeast 14th Place, Ocala, Florida. A couple weeks ago when I addressed you, ladies and gentlemen, I gave you all the booklets. You're all past the age of wondering if you did your homework. But at any rate, we're wondering if you could get us on the docket to hold a seminar with you folks. Tonight, our group is addressing the city commissioners at 6 o'clock. They changed their morning schedule to accommodate this meeting so the public could be there. We're wondering sometime within the next couple of weeks if you could give us a time. This place would be fine. And if you could come to some type of decision on that.
Okay. What is council's wish? Do we want to try to maybe schedule a time?
Sure.
And look at the schedule? This is your number here?
My home phone number. Our time frame takes 30 minutes, and
okay.
Then maybe a half hour or some time for questions and answers.
Okay.
So we can't put a time frame on that, but the actual presentation would be 30, 35 minutes.
Okay. We have a workshop next week, and we usually, as you know, we meet the first and third, and then in between, like the second and fourth, sometimes we schedule workshops. Next week we have one already scheduled. It's been scheduled for a couple months, but I'm thinking maybe sometime in February.
Be great.
That we'll schedule one of those off Tuesdays, Mayor?
Well, the workshops are usually lunch workshops. Would that be accommodating, or would an evening workshop work better? So
the evening would be better because more people from the public could be here.
Okay.
Those of us who still work.
How about if I, this is your number, how about if I give you a call tomorrow and
Fine. Let's
look at the schedule for February?
All right.
We're February 1st or 2nd is our, I think it's the 2nd.
February 1st is.
February 1st, and then that'll push us to, what, 15th or so?
The 8th would be the off week.
But I'm thinking the 15th, though. You're talking about a regularly scheduled council meeting, like right now tonight?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
How about
if we shoot for the 15th,
February 15th? Tentatively the 15th.
Is that okay with everybody? We'll work them into the agenda?
Yeah.
Mr. Priester?
Okay.
How about the 15th?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Happy New Year to all of you. Good
you
health.
Too.
Prosperous New Year to all of you in the city of Ocala.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Rick, if you can see to it that they'll have some agenda time for the 15th. Anyone else? I don't, this is the only slip that I have. Anyone else wish to comment to the public? Yes, sir. Yes, I've got that coming up next. Before we talk Project Hope, anybody else want to address council? Any other issues? Okay, next on the agenda presentations, I'm showing Mike being coolly here for Project Hope. Name and address, sir, for the record.
Yes, sir. I'm Van Aiken. Address is 615 East Silver Springs Boulevard. You want to go ahead and hand those? I'm here, thank goodness, representing Project Hope of Marion County instead of being up here begging for a M2 and Dutton zoning change. It's kind of neat, but anyway, just want to thank you for listening to us here, and I'm a director with Project Hope, and we're all looking forward to a great new year. I bring to the city council good news about Project Hope. Project Hope is alive and well. For council members, Mrs. Heimbuckle and Mr. Priester, y'all weren't here when Project Hope first got started. And Mary Sue Rich was with us when we went down on the bus to the Talbot House in Lakeland. But anyway, what I wanted to do is just give you a quick summary of the history of Project Hope. And Project Hope was founded in March of 2007 with the mission in mind of helping the homeless of Marion County with a hand up instead of a hand out. In October of 2008, it was the firm direction of the city council, Project Hope refined its mission to providing housing and related services to homeless children and their families. In April of 2010, Project Hope hired a full-time executive director, who is now Diana Kent, to implement our program. In July of 2010, Project Hope began providing transitional homes and service to 5 families with children, which are in our care at this time. In June of 2011, Project Hope is scheduled to close on a 40-unit, 2-bedroom, 2-bath complex to further our program. This organization and its mission have been blessed by God with its leadership, church sponsors, corporate and individual sponsors, and our executive director. God is good all the time. I want to thank the city of Ocala for your continued prayer and support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions, comments? Anybody? Thank you. All righty. Moving on, we have public hearings. Approved case number 44628 for an alcohol beverage location permit for off-premise consumption for Siggy's Inc., doing business as Siggy's for Less, located at 3337 East Silver Springs Boulevard. Presentation from Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. John Zobler, Deputy City Manager. This is a new business located in the Chelsea Square Shopping Center, and they're requesting a permit to sell beer and wine for off-premise consumption only. All other requirements are in order, and we recommend your approval.
So moved.
We have a motion from Mr. Priester.
Second.
A second from Mrs. Heimbuckle. Is the applicant here? You don't have to come up. Do you got anything you want to add, or? Okay. Anyone in the audience wish to comment on this item? Anyone in the audience? Any questions from council, staff, or the applicant? Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Owen?
Aye. Next, approved case number 44729 for an alcohol beverage location permit for an on-premise consumption for DJ Partners LLC, doing business as Brooklyn's Original Pizzeria and Restaurant, located at 1011 Northeast 14th Street. Also, presentation from Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. Again, this is another new business that is requesting a permit to sell beer and wine for on-premise consumption only. There are two churches in the area, as well as three other establishments that are already licensed to sell alcohol in the area. All of the requirements of the permit application are in order, and we recommend your approval.
So moved.
A motion from Mr. Priester, second from Mr. Gwynn. Is the applicant here? Sir, do you have any questions or comments? Anyone else in the audience wish to address this item? Anyone in the audience? Is there any questions from council, staff? Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, approved case number 44734 for an alcohol beverage location permit for on-premise consumption for Bonefish Grill of Florida, LLC, doing business as Bonefish Grill, located at 4701 Southwest College Road. Presentation from Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. This request is simply brought on by a change in the ownership name of the restaurant. There is not any change in the permit itself. All of the conditions remain the same.
Okay. Is the applicant here? Is not here. Do we have anyone in the audience wish to comment on this? Anyone in the audience? Do we have any questions from council? Any questions? Call the roll.
Need a motion.
You gotta have a motion.
Second. I mean, so moved.
Second.
A motion for Mr. Gwynn and a second for Mr. Priester. Anyone in the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, approved case number 44735 for an alcohol beverage location permit for an on-premise consumption for Carrabba's Italian Grill, LLC, doing business as Carrabba's Italian Grill, located at 2370 Southwest College Road. Presentation from Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. This is a permit request for the same permit they currently have. It's brought about by a change in ownership of the restaurant. Everything else is in compliance, and we recommend your approval.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Second. Priester, second from Mr. Gwynn. Is the applicant here? Probably not, since they weren't here for the other one. Anyone in the audience wish to address this item? Anyone on council? Any questions? Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Approved case number 44736 for an alcohol beverage location permit for an on-premise consumption for Outback Steakhouse of Florida, LLC, doing business as Outback Steakhouse, located at 4899 East Silver Springs Boulevard. Presentation from Mr. Zobler.
Mr. President, this is the same condition again. This request is simply brought on by a change in ownership of the restaurant. It's the same permit they currently have, but the new permit is required due to a change in ownership.
Okay.
So moved.
A motion from Mr. Priester.
Second.
Second from Mrs. Heimbuckle. I'm going to take a stab and guess that the applicant is not here. Just checking. Any questions from council? Anyone in the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
So, yeah, aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, approved case number 44738 for an alcohol beverage location permit for on-premise consumption for The Best Restaurant and Grill, LLC, located at 754 Northeast 25th Ave. Presentation from Mr. Zobler.
This request for a permit is to sell beer, wine, and liquor. Request is brought on by a change in ownership. This is the original Hightower's restaurant location, and staff finds everything else in the application to be in order, and we recommend your approval.
Motion from Mr. Gwynn, a second from Mr. Priester. The applicant here. Would you wish to speak, ma'am? Okay. Any questions? Anyone else in the audience have any questions or comments? Any questions from council? Call the roll.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, approved case number 44755 for an alcohol beverage location permit for off-premise consumption for Sri Gaya Tramada, Inc., doing business as Park Quick King, located at 2400 Southeast 36th Ave. Presentation from Mr. Zobler.
This is the last beverage permit request we have for this evening, and again, it's brought on by a change in ownership. No other changes apply, and we recommend your approval.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Priester.
Second.
Second from Mrs. Heimbuckle. The applicant here? Any questions or comments, sir? Okay, thank you. Anyone else in the audience have any questions or comments? Council, any questions? Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, approve amendment of conceptual PUD plan for approximately 173 acres located west of Southwest 44th Ave between Southwest 20th Street and Southwest 40th Street. It's case PUD 10-0002 OPZ on 1213, gave unanimous approval, and presentation from Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. City Council originally approved this conceptual PUD back in August of 2007. At that time, the PUD envisioned 1,000 single-family dwelling units and 130,000 square feet of professional and commercial services. That didn't occur due to deteriorating market conditions. The applicant is now requesting to change the PUD to provide 325 assisted living facility units, to reduce the number of single-family dwelling units to 907, and to increase the number of development phases from 5 to 12, to update the alignment of Southwest 44th Avenue and the city's drainage retention area, to relocate the proposed east-west road in the development, and to remove access to Bear Track Ranch and Timberwood subdivisions, and to propose a secondary access to Southwest 44th Avenue. All of the proposed changes are still consistent with the comprehensive plan, and staff requests your approval.
The applicant here? Mr. Gray, Happy New Year.
Happy
Name
New
and
Year.
Address.
Steve Gray, 125 Northeast 1st Avenue, Suite 1, Ocala. This is what we're beginning to see quite a bit of. I would call this project rehabilitation. These are relatively minor adjustments to the original PUD plan. I will note to you that for the purposes of adjoining property owners, the adjustments are all in the internal section of the project. The layout of the PUD, if you look at the master plan, you'll see that the southern boundary has detached single-family residential to be adjacent to Timberwood. The section of the northern boundary that is adjacent to Bear Track Ranch was and remains detached single-family residential. What we're working on here is, there's a multi-party project here. You have a lender involved. You have the survivor developer, which has now gone through bankruptcy and has shrunk down to the actual investors in the project. So it's going to require some work. But ultimately, the plan is to complete the construction of 44th Avenue, the not-quite-complete roadway, from Airport Road south to the south boundary of this project, to construct, as you will see on the revised plan, a segment of an east-west road that would tee off of that and would provide access to the parcels that are identified as phases 1A, B, and C on the plan. That's the starting point of the rehab, because there is a contract in place with a national developer of assisted living facilities for 325 ALF unit project at that internal site, which is always how the plan was originally designed, that you would have higher density internal to the project, and you would buffer the Bear Track Ranch to the north and Timberwood to the south with detached single-family residential, and that aspect of the plan remains the same. And so what we're here to do is to rephase the project to align the parcels in plans with the existing contract with the ALF developer. Minor road adjustments for a couple of minor segments of road, and then reactivate the project. I think there is, for ALF facilities and for some ILF facilities, there is federal money available. This particular developer is national in scope, and they are working on several elements of the financing. So it is enough that the lender is willing to sort of re-engage in the project. And one of the obvious things we've got to finish is the road. 44th Avenue North and South provides all of the legal and physical access to the internal parcels.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Green? Any questions? Steve, the access is to be prohibited, the Bear Track Ranch, we're cutting that off.
Right, we're cutting that off.
Talk about that, I mean, is there any, I mean, is that your, is that the request from client or?
Historically, we immediately identified all of the access points to Timberwood and Bear Track Ranch as a problem. You know, you can understand those people in those neighborhoods. And remember the, I think you were on the council when the Timberwood access issue, we had several hearings over that. So you don't really gain anything by accessing through those subdivisions other than potentially putting traffic in the subdivisions and so.
I'll notice in phase five here, that's where that is, it says phase five.
Bear Track is up there, phase five.
Right there, so I just think from an emergency standpoint, I mean.
Well, you know, we've got other access points. First of all, we have all this frontage on 44th, and you'll see in the new plan, we're gonna have both an east-west road and another southerly road along 44th. Long-term, the plan is at the western end of this project to either extend a road through an approved PUD, it's not owned by the same people, north it would connect back into Airport Road, west of the entrance to Carlton Apartments. Or the other plan that we've looked at is to extend this east-west road westerly through the bottom of the E1 property, we talked to them, and then through the property, the property owner who owns the property on 60th would also donate the right-of-way, so you would create a parallel road to the Airport Road going all the way out to 60th, which is probably the better plan. But right now, we're just trying to get the bank re-engaged, get the road finished, and be able to prep up sites for an ALF facility, which generates a pretty good number of jobs also.
Okay. Any other questions? Anyone in the audience wish to address this item? Anyone in the audience? Mr. Priester? Nothing?
Need a motion.
John, is there any follow-up you want to add?
No.
Okay.
So moved.
We have a motion from Mr. Priester.
Second.
Second from Mr. Gwynn. Anyone in the audience? Totally lost the agenda. It's gone. There it is. I found it. Excuse me. Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, second, and final reading of ordinances. We have none. Move to the consent agenda. Mr. Priester, are there any items on the consent agenda?
I have none.
Mr. Gwynn?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have a motion for the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion, Mr. President, to approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion from Mr. Gwynn for the consent agenda, second from Mr. Priester. Anyone in the audience wish to speak on any of the items on the consent agenda? Call the roll.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. We have nine introduction and first reading of ordinances and resolutions. Second and final reading will be January 18th, 2011. First, we have introduced an ordinance 2011-43 to amend the future land use designation from professional services to retail services for approximately 0.98 acres of property located at 2534 Southeast 17th Street. It's case LUC 10-0028 OPZ on 1213 gave unanimous approval.
Priester.
Introduced by Mr. Priester.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change case number LUC 10-0028 involved into amend the future land use map series from professional services to retail services for property located at 2534 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Next, introduce ordinance 2011-44 to rezone from O1 office to B2 community business for approximately 0.98 acres of property located at 2534 Southeast 17th Street, case ZON10-0032, OPZ on 12/13/10, give unanimous approval.
Heinbockel.
Introduced by Mrs. Heinbockel.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the Cityville, California, changing from O1 office to B2 community business for certain property located at 2534 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON10-00032, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Next, we introduce ordinance 2011-45, the amendment to ordinance 5988 for the General Employees Retirement Plan to reduce the time a member may participate and drop from 96 months to 60 months for members whose participation begins on or after February 1, 2011.
Priester.
Introduced by Mr. Priester.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala amending the City of Ocala General Employees Retirement System adopted pursuant to ordinance number 5988 and subsequently amended is hereby further amended by adding section 43-62 definitions, providing for amended definition of actuarial equivalent, amending section 43-87 deferred retirement option plan, providing for a reduction of time to participate in the deferred retirement option plan from 96 to 60 months, providing for codification, providing for severability of provisions, repealing all ordinances in conflict herewith, and providing an effective date.
Next, we introduce budget resolution 2011-117, supplemental budget appropriation. We have an introduction.
Gwynn.
Introduced by Mr. Gwynn. You have nothing to read, correct?
Yeah.
Next, we introduce budget resolution 2011-118, amending fiscal year 2011 budget to appropriate a portion of the designated police trust and agency fund for law enforcement state contraband fund.
Priester.
Introduced by Mr. Priester. Finally, we have introduced budget resolution 2011-119, amending fiscal year 2011 budget to accept and appropriate a National Association of VOCA Assistance Administrators grant.
Heinbockel.
Introduced by Mrs. Heinbockel. Moving on to number 10, other business, approve the appointment of one member of the City Council to the Investment Committee. Presentation by John Leggy. John, you want to go ahead?
I'll just give you a quick brief. John Leggy, Chief Financial Officer. The Investment Committee meets quarterly to oversee the city's three investment managers. That current Investment Committee consists of Mr. Gwynn, Mr. Horst, myself, Ms. Kelly, and Mr. Horn. I think Mr. Gwynn's been on it for a while, and this is just an opportunity to either reappoint Mr. Gwynn or appoint someone else to the committee.
I've been on it for, I don't know, 8 years.
Do I have nine?
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I enjoy doing it.
Mr. Priester, you have any?
Oh, I think he's doing a good job.
No, sir.
I felt Ms. Rich just channeled the love, too.
All right.
Tag, you're it.
All right.
Anything else, John?
Motion for that.
We'd like to say we very much appreciate the service Mr. Gwynn brings. His experience and background has been very helpful as we've gone through some changes over the last couple of years.
Okay. Can I get a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Motion from Mrs. Heinbockel, a second from Mr. Priester. Anyone in the audience wish to speak to this item? Anybody on council have any other questions or comments? Call the roll.
Ms. Heinbockel?
Aye.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. Next, approve the new logo design for the Ocala International Airport. Presentation from Mr. Zogler.
Thank you. As part of the marketing and branding efforts associated with the Ocala Business Park at the Ocala International Airport, we've worked with the same firm to design the logo for the business park and asked them to come up with some drafts for a new logo for the airport. We've made a recommendation for the first logo that appears in your packet. We believe it works in harmony with the one that was approved for the business park. We have also in your packet are all of the other logos that were prepared by the consultant. The advisory board for the airport also selected the one that staff is recommending.
Mr. Gwynn?
Well, a couple of things. I don't really care for that, but the other thing that we were talking about in some of the communication, I think Mark had mentioned that we wanted to, when we did this entrance, that we didn't want to take away from what Magna was doing. If we're going to do this, and we're going to have the kind of airport we want, we need to do this first class, and we can't skimp, and we can't, I mean, this has got to be done correctly, because, I mean, you're going to have companies want to locate in there. I mean, they want it to look like, you know, they're coming into a professional place. And to me, I mean, I know it's got the airplane in there for, you know, obviously the airport. But that didn't do anything for me. But that's just me.
Now, this is not the logo for the industrial park. Am I correct?
No, this is just the logo that for the airport.
Just for the airport
signage. This is not for the industrial park. The industrial park is on the second page.
Mm-hmm. Can you put that up on your screen?
Yeah, the second page.
Sunny?
Yeah.
You can go to the Sunny screen there.
Yeah, that's better.
So we just wanted a logo that would be similar to this, being located directly next to the park, but would allow us to differentiate ourselves from the park as the airport.
Mayor was an assistant.
Rick, how does the international play in? Are we truly at international?
We are legitimately an international airport, yes. And there are some much smaller than us that have the same designation.
What does that signify? I mean,
I don't know. I can give you a good answer. We have someone back here raising his hand.
Bill Stevens, city engineer. We got the international designation at one time when we had customs.
Okay.
And that moniker stayed with us since that happened.
But now
there
don't
is
have
a
customs.
Process if you change it. It has to go, I mean, all of FAA's directories and everything. Yeah. And
it's better to leave it as is.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, how do we truly operate it internationally?
No, there are no international flights.
I think there is because we do have Saudi Arabia and Korea bringing horses in, and we do have those type of things happening, but not any domestic air flights, no.
Well, I'm not talking about, you know, your Deltas or those of the world, but I mean, without a customs agent there, are we truly, you know, are we capable of, you know, if we find a business and wants to come in here and fly some parts, say, out of South Africa, can they bring them right in there, or they still have to go through somewhere else and come?
Yeah, the runway does have some limitations. I think 757 is ruled out, 747.
I understand, but I mean, can somebody fly out of Central America or South America?
Only if we arrange to have a customs.
You have to have customs come from either Gainesville or Ocala.
And we can.
I mean, our Orlando.
Okay, I'm just. If I'm asking
we can't do
the questions
that,
correctly.
In advance.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that, I mean, if we're out here selling this as an international airport,
correct.
I mean,
we would be able to accept international flights.
Can we accept international flights? Do we have the processes in place to do that? I mean, are we really operating as an international airport? If that's what's going to be on the title, or is it kind of we got to call in the customs agent to bring them in up here, and you know, or are we going to put in the steps to get there and, you know, go back and try and get a customs agent back in place and do those things too?
Well, the steps to get a customs agent is there, and we can move forward. It's just the cost of about, I think it was around $90,000 a year total cost. When we have no need for, that's a cost that's not there yet. But we are able to, if we have advance notice reservation, we can bring in a customs agent and accommodate landings.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President.
Mr.
Are we working towards getting that customs agent back to have enough business for that?
We're aware of everything that needs to be done to do it. Again, the cost is around 90-something thousand.
Is it 90
year,
now?
And that's really just a budget issue at this point.
It was 60 when it was... when he was there before, and then folks down Leesburg wanted him, and yeah, we didn't have enough business for him. It's kind of like the Maytag repairman out there.
Yeah. Right, I remember they were, what was that, about 6 years ago? They were they were going to Gainesville or Leesburg every day, and nothing to do here, and Leesburg kind of politicked and pulled it out from us.
Mr. Morris wanted it down there. So.
We recently approached Leesburg to see if they were interested in sharing customs operations, and they weren't at this time.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Did you
have something else?
just about the logo, I am seeing, when I look at it, OCF.
That's the official call letters for the airport.
Okay.
That's FAA regulated.
Okay, that makes sense then. Because I wasn't following that part of it. All right.
Could you slide it back to the other one? Is that the one we're looking at with the airplane?
Go back to the single one, yeah. That's, and again, that's just for the airport operation, not the business part.
Right, okay. This is for just signage directing people?
Signage, letterhead, things related to airport ops.
I mean, could you?
I think the fact that it's gator colors is throwing you off.
It's messing me up too. That big orange scene in the middle of it.
Can we do something a little bit better on the font or something like that? I mean, it's just so generic.
On the wording?
I mean, just the font. I mean, it's just.
On the Ocala International Airport?
Yeah.
Sure, we can definitely try some different font schemes.
Or the OCF even.
And,
well,
go ahead.
Not a lot you can do with a circle and a C there. But, yeah. But I understand what you're trying to do. But I just want to make sure that we do this first class. I don't want to skimp.
Work on the font and bring that back, but otherwise we're kind of conceptually there. I know it's kind of a tough.
There's a third page in the agenda packet.
Those were all of the
other ones too.
Those were all of the scenarios prepared by MG3 that we advanced to the advisory board.
Can you put that one up? Do you have that one, Sonny?
Yeah.
But the font's basically the same.
Mm-hmm. But the visual on the bottom left one is a little different.
Yeah. Jim Taylor Field, yeah, that's.
My personal opinion, I didn't like using the airplane, but I'm not a pilot. The pilots like airplanes, obviously, yeah. So.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
Mr. Do we still call it Jim Taylor Field?
Yes, it still has that name, okay. And the gentleman's picture is hanging in the General Aviation Terminal.
Okay.
Anyone in the audience wish to speak to this item? Okay. So we want to go back and look at some different font.
Yeah.
Just. And if I can just be picky for a minute.
Sure.
Could we look at it with the flipping the orange and the gray colorations on some of them, mm-hmm. and see what that does to kind of let the bright colors frame the gray.
Okay.
All right, I'm done.
That bottom one under one's got Nike with the swoosh in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Royalty there. So, exactly.
We'll do that if they write us a check.
Maybe writing them a check. Priester, any input?
I don't see a horse. I'm fine with any of y'all pick. I don't care about Jim Taylor Field.
My comment to that would be thank God.
We'll come back with some alternatives.
So we got some alternatives, and then we'll just go from there and bring it back. Mm-hmm. Mr. Horse, did you have something else on that?
No, sir.
Okay. Different fonts and maybe a garnet and gold
option.
All right, let's get back to this. Next, we have utility report. Matt?
Nothing to report this evening.
Lights are on. Everybody's paying their bill. Things are good. Let's skip here. City attorney's report. Mr. Gilligan?
We're seeking permission to bring back an agreement to council whereby the city would condemn the remaining property needed to complete 44th Avenue. We'd be totally reimbursed for that project by either RGI, the developer, or RGC, the bank lender. They're having problems getting title to the property, and they're in suit already. They suggested we may go about doing it this way. So I think we're recommending that we do that, and we bring back an agreement whereby we do it, but we're reimbursed for the cost and legal fees of doing it. We have any questions or comments for Mr. Gilligan, or a motion?
You need a motion, so move.
A motion from Mr. Priester, second from Mr. Gwynn. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Anyone in the audience wish to address this item? Anyone in the audience?
I was looking for Steve Gray, because this is his deal.
Any Bolton? Any follow-up, Mr. Gilligan?
Yes, sir.
Susan?
Could you just elaborate a little bit about what the problem has been in obtaining the right-of-way?
Well, the seller of the property was supposed to convey title, and mm-hmm. they're not doing that for reasons I don't know. Either they're gone, can't find them, won't do it, mad, angry, I just don't know. They're not doing it. They had a contractual agreement with the city to do that. They've not done it. In the meantime, Ransom Development went into bankruptcy and was engaged in litigation in two different states. It was pretty nasty business. That's now been mostly resolved, and the lender on the project, the one that Mr. Gray was just talking about on the redoing the part of the development plan, the lender there is willing to re-enter the picture, but that's one of the issues that has to be resolved, is getting title to the property and then completing 44th Avenue. They filed suit to compel transfer of title, but have been unsuccessful so far. So the suggestion was, why don't we just condemn the title, which normally we get title to property one or two ways. Either we contract and buy it and they convey title, or we do it through condemnation. So they said, why don't you condemn, we'll pay you to go through the process of doing it. It's not our fight, but we're the beneficiaries of the fight, and they're willing to pay for it.
It does impact opening the road up in the project we discussed earlier.
Right, mm-hmm. right. We need the title to do the road, so finish the road.
Yeah, and it's been sitting there in a 80% completion state for years, and longer it sits, the more it's going to take to get it open, and it's a critical part of the Beltway.
Any other questions, comments?
No.
Yes.
Thank you.
Again, back to the audience, just anyone? We have a motion and a second. Mm-hmm. Call the roll.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Mr. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Owen?
Aye. Back to the city manager's report. As we had said earlier, obviously Ms. Rich is absent tonight. As we've gone a month into this process, does everybody get the applications?
Yes.
And your agenda packets?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What is everybody's feeling on the procedure from here? Ms. Rich, again, you know, she had a little accident. She's going to be nursing her shoulder here for a couple days, I imagine. We have the ability, as you know, to call a special meeting. The mayor, we have 48 hours notice, I think we can do. You can call a special meeting. I think it's 48 hours.
Yeah, I think it is.
To call a special meeting. Is that of any interest to anyone? Do we want to go to the 18th? I know last one we talked about that is trying to move fairly quickly to give some transition time for whoever the individual will be to spend a little bit of quality time with Mr. Horst.
Right.
So just want to throw that out here and get everybody's. Mr. Gwynn?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. You know, the 18th doesn't give whoever that person is a lot of time to spend with Rick. And, you know, and I don't know, like you said, what Mrs. Rich's, you know, schedule is as far as healing him. But probably, I don't know, is today Tuesday?
Yes.
Maybe Monday or something next week or yep. something like that.
We have a workshop next Tuesday.
Correct.
Can they be back to back or no?
Sure. They could
you can,
be.
You can do it at a workshop also and then just formally vote on it at the next council meeting.
Yes, but I would like to
announcement, and I would like to, when we talk about it, at whatever date or whatever time, if it's not the 18th, I would like to take, be able to take formal action and vote on it at that point to start the wheels in motion.
What day you're talking about?
Well, that's what we, Ms. Rich is, with her shoulder problem, she's, you know, in the hospital today, and so.
Day was the workshop.
Next Tuesday, the 11th, is the work session, which normally ends around 1:30. You could convene at 1:30 in a special session if you wanted to, or before it.
Yeah, we just did that recently, Mr. President.
Correct. Yes, we did that about a couple months ago.
Yeah, I think we could do that again.
That suits me fine. I would prefer that we do it before, in case, yeah, because, you know, if that's possible.
Do it before.
I would prefer, yeah, earlier than go later.
Okay.
For my personal schedule.
Okay. Mr. Priester?
How long did y'all spend prior to finding Mr. Horst?
How long did we spend?
Yeah, did y'all spend a week, couple of weeks?
What do you mean?
When you done the interview process for the city manager we have at this time, y'all sat on council along with Ms. Rich. How long a time period was it that y'all spent to find a city manager?
We put out an RFP for people to do the search, got those back, selected a person to do the search, did the search probably 6 weeks after that, you think, Council, Mr. President?
Yeah, from the time that the application process was narrowed down, we brought in, there was six of y'all, I think, Rick, eight. I think there was five, there was eight, because I remember, and that was, I want to say July, maybe late June, probably after the time that we, from end of July, I'd probably say a 6 to 7 week process.
Yeah.
Did we do an interview process or a review process for all the candidates at that time to be present for the council members to review and discuss with at their time their credentials?
We did on a Saturday, I believe it was.
Yeah.
When we narrowed it down to the eight, I think went down to, ended up being about five,
right,
if I remember correct, five or six. And we spent a Saturday locked up in separate parts of the city hall here, and did a rotation process, and got to interview, council got to interview all of the members. And then we came back in here for a meeting, if I remember, and then as a group, were able to address each candidate. And then the next meeting, I think it was, I'm thinking within the next 2 or 3 weeks, Mr. Horst was
We had kind of a meet and greet, I think, at it.
Yes.
Can't remember where it was, with the top five or three, yep, or something like that.
And that's when we did that interview,
yeah,
process.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, excluding the RFP, do you feel like we should be somewhere in line or in sync with what you're doing this time, or do you feel like we need to just go ahead and nip it in the bud and put someone in transition and have them trained by Mr. Horst? Is that kind of what you're looking for? A short term here for this? Because
it's not a matter of training in my mind. It's a matter of just an update of where we stand on issues, and
you're
update
right
of where we're at, what counts as we move forward from, you know, week in, week out from a council standpoint. There's operational issues, and it's more of regardless of who that individual is, having to spend some time just in an update status of here's where we're at, here's what's going on, and not, mm-hmm, you know, I don't look at it as a training and here's how you got to act, right, here's what you got to do. It's just an informational couple of weeks to do that. I do think it's critical as we move in, as I said before, 2011, a lot of uncertainty across not just the city of Ocala and Marion County, but the state and this country as a whole. It's just me. I don't feel like putting the employees in limbo and been an interim status, or we don't know what's going on. We've been through that process a couple times. I've seen it with the police department. We went through an 8-10 month process there. I've seen it the city manager's department when we went through, quite honestly, about 6 to 8 months when we made the decision with the last city manager to leave. We made that decision, and yet he. I think if I've made a mistake here, he was hung around for 6 months. We caused a lot of limbo in a lot of different areas. And I've kind of lived through some of that. And I think that we've got the application process in. I think all of the candidates that we have, at least in my mind, are known quantities. And, you know, if we need some time, I understand everybody's, you know, wanting to do that. I think most of the applicants are right here and available for some interview process, should you want to do that on your own. And the quicker, like I said, the quicker I think we can move and bring some, you know, some solid action, some very, you know, just move this thing along and keep moving. And I don't have any interest in tapping the brakes and leaving the community and employees and everybody out there in a limbo state.
I don't either, but I would like to challenge that one decision that we have here on the table at this time, discussing putting it up on the workshop for the 11th to make a decision there without having due process for each council member, which I have already participated and called several of the participants that have put their name in the hat. We did have one, Mr. Kesselring, right here in Ocala, didn't even have a good contact number, but I did get a hold of him. Neither here nor there. If all council members are following suit and doing their work, then they can be diligent that way and make their decision, and then we can all have a workshop. Otherwise, if they're not, I don't think due process will be served for each council member to have that opportunity to discuss each and every issue with each citizen. So, if that being the case, if you need to move it on up, I don't want to hold us in limbo, by no means. But I would like to see due process work its course and follow the procedure as we feel that's necessary for council to make a decision for a city manager.
I understand that, and I would, again, that's why I'm asking to throw this out here. What are we a month into this? Again, that due process, Mr. Preacher, I think is incumbent upon each one of us to take the time to do that.
Right.
And due process doesn't mean that you have some lazy council members who aren't doing their homework. That doesn't equate to me. So I think we know the situation at hand. Rick's leaving us February 1st. And I'm not trying to drive this. I'm throwing it out here for council discussion. Do we want to wait till, you know, February? Do we want to wait till June? Do we want to wait till 2013? I mean, what do we want to do? If we're making this decision that as a whole, as a body, that we want to move forward on February 1st, not having an interim tag on whoever that individual is, then the due process has been established, and then it's incumbent upon us as elected officials, do the homework, make it happen. I'm sure each and one of those applicants are available between now and next Tuesday, if that's the route we want to go, get those interview processes in. You know, it's effective. To bring all applicants up here and to schedule a meeting and say, all right, let's get up here and let's grill you. That's, you know, we have within the bounds of Mr. Gilligan, if I speak out of turn here, tell me, but each one of us have the ability to call each one of these applicants
right on
our own and do the homework, correct? I mean,
yes,
that's
sir.
Completely within our bounds of
absolutely
of the law. So,
just can't do it together in an unnoticed meeting,
correct? And so, I'm just throwing that, Mr. Gwynn.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, I've you know looked at the ones that I'm interested in, read them, then interviewed the ones that I've wanted to, you know, interview, and you know, I'm ready to make a decision when you know we reconvene on the 11th. But no, I understand what you're saying, you know, Councilman Priester, but you know, just need to move forward and move ahead and, you know, name that person, whoever it is, and just keep going. And it's not and like President Owen said, it's not a training issue. It's just, here's where we are, here's where we're headed, here are things you need to be aware of that are coming forward, you know, and things like that. So it's just bringing that person up to date as to where we are type situation. And it'll probably take, you know, a couple of weeks to do that. Just to
The 11th works for me. I wasn't prepared to make any decisions tonight, but I will be by next Tuesday.
Okay.
Or any date thereafter.
And this is the one reason to pull it. I mean, it's one thing to talk about alcohol beverage permits for a Quick King, and having at least enough of us up here to talk about that. City manager position, I think, is one of our most important decisions that we make.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, you know, very strongly that it's a full council law participation event. And so it's unfortunate, Ms. Rich, and I hope she gets to feeling better. She may not, we wish her the best. I hope she's ready tomorrow to go. She may not even be ready next Tuesday, I don't know, depending on what she has, if she has surgery or whatever. So unfortunately, we could be in limbo. But if Ms. Rich does call the city manager tomorrow and say she's ready to go and she's back in good spirits and want to do that, that's why I'm throwing this out here tonight. If we're comfortable with scheduling a vote and not waiting till the 18th.
Right, definitely.
Absolutely. 11.
If y'all want to have a special meeting for, you need a motion with 4/5, which means all 4 of you, 3/5, I'm sorry, which means all 4 of you, or the mayor can notice it.
Okay. So are we all in agreement then that we'll, obviously Ms. Rich, upon hearing from her, when she feels up to being ready to participate?
You can always cancel the meeting with less notice, but you can't.
What's that?
You can always cancel the meeting with less notice, but you can't
schedule the meeting.
Schedule the meeting. So if you want to do that tonight, and I'd recommend you do it by motion and get your 4 votes.
So let's, so you've heard what's out there. So let's, the motion would be to schedule, we're at 11:30 Tuesday?
It's actually 12 o'clock. 11:30 to 12 is the lunchtime.
12.
What time do we feel? 9, 10?
Yeah, we can do it in the morning if you want to do it in the morning.
Do it early in the morning. Mr. Preacher, how's your schedule look for Tuesday morning before our workshop?
At this time, it's fine. It's open.
I know Ms. Rich is not a fan of 9 o'clock.
10.
Can we shoot for 10?
Yeah, let's do 10.
So the motion would be for January 11th, 2011 at 10 o'clock here at City Hall for an official council meeting.
Okay. All right.
To discuss the city manager candidates.
Okay. Well, Mr. President, I would make a motion that we convene a city council meeting on January 11th at 10 a.m. To discuss the position and vote on city manager position.
We have a motion from Mr. Nguyen, a second from Mr. Priester. Anyone in the audience wish to speak to this item? We have a motion on the floor, as we've all heard, for January 11th, 2011, next Tuesday at 10 for a official council meeting to discuss the city council or city manager candidates. Call the roll.
Mr. Nguyen?
Aye.
Mr. Priester?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuchel?
Aye.
Mr. Olin?
Aye. All right. Moving on, we have, Rick, did you have anything further?
No, that was it. I do want to add one item to the calendar. This Thursday is the Marion County delegation meeting up at the college starting at 1 o'clock. There is a luncheon for those who might have reserved through the chamber if you chose to do that. You have the agenda. The city and college are early in the agenda, so, you know, starting at 1, those items will probably be concluded by 2, and then there's a rather lengthy process afterwards that may not require your attendance.
We were originally scheduled for November, correct, and they got called into special session. If it's all right with everybody, we were originally scheduled in November. Kent was still president, was going to give that. I've asked him to maintain and keep that, so he will be speaking for us at our allotted time. Mr. Priester, is that all right? I'm going to keep Mr. Nguyen as our representation for our delegation on Thursday to speak on our behalf?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're...
Absolutely.
Yeah, Street has got me all situated.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do good.
Try.
I know you will. It's going to be a lengthy, it's all the agenda. It's pretty lengthy.
Yeah, I think Commissioner McClain and I are first on the agenda. Yeah.
So look forward to being a part of that. All right.
President.
Mr. Priester.
Back to the item that we just put a motion on for the workshop.
Yes, sir.
For the decision for the city managers. Our actual itinerary there, and I believe Mr. Horst said 11:30 meeting, maybe lunch starting at 12. And actually, the time we have calendared is 11 to 11:30. So we either need to notify the people that are going to be attending that meeting, or we need to reschedule ourselves in the notes there. We said 10 o'clock for our meeting.
Yep.
Right. So we'll schedule 11 to 11:30.
Mark, did we notice the meeting starting at 11:30? Question is, are they going to be here 11:30 or are they going to be here at 12?
No, I think on your agenda packet today, you have that. No, I don't have it with me yet.
It says 11:30 here, but typically...
No, typically it starts at 11:30, isn't it? You go lunch to 11:30, is that right?
No, 11:30 to 12 is lunch, and then 12 to 1:30 is...
But here it's 11 to 11:30.
I thought in your agenda packet there was the copy of that announcement. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't...
No, it's just the date. But apparently the meeting is scheduled to start at 11:30, Mr. Priester.
Just through it, Tim.
There'll be a gap.
Yeah, right now...
If you look in your agenda packet under item 14A1, I'm assuming that that's what the clerk noticed, but I don't...
Yeah, I think we're typically noticed at 11:30, the lunch. How about this? How about if we cancel the lunch?
Yeah.
And let's just know that we've got from 10 to 11:30, and if we run over, we'll run over.
We'll just have some snacks if you need to grab something.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's a good point, thank you.
Why aren't our times reflected in the notes there in the minutes correctly?
Cancel the lunch and we'll just shoot, keep it at 11:30. Mr. Horst, did you, anything else on the city manager's report?
No, sir.
Okay, and you saw the informational items calendar, talking about the workshop. I think we beat that one to a pulp. Comments by the mayor?
None tonight.
None. Comments by individual council members. Mr. Priester?
Keep in prayer some of our employees. We had a individual in Public Works Sanitation Department. He's a welder. Ed Taylor lost his wife yesterday, I believe it was.
Right.
Yes. And he's been with us a couple of years. She's been in and out of hospice, I believe. The prayers go out to the family. That's all I have for a new year. I hope everyone's doing well.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gwynn?
I had a question.
I know you were in Tallahassee today. You want to give us a report?
Yeah, I'll give you a little update, but I want to ask a question about the tower. The tower doesn't have visual out there, correct? It's just they communicate by radio.
By radio, I mean, they do have radar.
There's stationed up in the tower. What type of visual are you talking about, Mr. Gwynn?
Air traffic controller can see where the planes are.
They have a 360-degree view in and around the airport.
But no,
the
radar. On
the
screen.
Oh, on the radar?
Yeah.
Pretty sure they do have the I can't confirm that right now, but I thought that they did.
Well, someone told me that the length of the runway was the issue. And I think we're at 8,700 feet now, and it needs to be at 9,000 feet. It's 300 feet of runway to have visual on there, which could, you know, if we're talking about developing that airport, with, you know, planes coming in there, it'd probably be wise to have visual on that radar.
We will look into it.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all it is, 300 feet. I mean, I don't know what that cost to extend the runway, but that's what I was told. Excuse me. And it did go up last night to Attorney General Bondi's reception, and then stayed this morning for the prayer breakfast for the governor, and then went to the inauguration, and Commissioner McClain was up there with me, and it was really good. Their administration is all about jobs, and whatever they need to do to make that happen. One of the things the governor spoke about was he was creating a committee to go through all the state statutes to look at how they affected job creation. And that might be something, I was talking to President Owen, that might be something that may be good for us to do as far as that, just to look at, you know, our ordinances and, you know, see how they affect or stop job creation.
Okay.
And go through them all. I mean, I don't know which ones would be pertinent, but there may be some in the building or, you know, things like that. So, just a thought. But it was real good. The weather was good. A lot of people up there. And so it was a good experience. That's it.
Okay. Susie?
I don't have anything tonight. Thank you.
Okay. A couple things. I, this past week, met with the city manager and Oscar, met with them on city auditor. I think in about 10 years that I've been up here, we'll go through this agenda. We've got city manager's report, we got utility reports, we get city attorney's reports,
right.
We get police reports, we get everything. I've never seen an auditor. It's one of our appointees. We have, as you know, 5 appointees. And I think, and I'll at least take personal responsibility a little bit here. I think we need to, one, I would like to start giving some time out for that, number one.
Good idea.
Number two, I think we need to, in coming out of our meeting, and Mr. Horst, if you can add on anything here, getting a workshop or some time to meet with the city auditor and trying to give some direction. I think that's, at least sometimes it seems that's one area of the city that sometimes maybe just kind of slips under the radar, and it's just kind of out there and it's floating around, and it's, you know, there's good things going on and there's things happening, but I don't know that there's quite honestly been maybe a unified effort on part of council as a whole to look and see what we're doing there.
Right.
We've got a lot of great things going on. I know I've talked about it until I'm blue in the face, but we got a lot of great things going on in finance. There's a lot of great things going everywhere that I think the auditor, not just from a standpoint of this, you know, cold hard flying in and doing some auditing, I think there can be some mutual benefits there in enhancing, you know, just not the city auditor's position in that office and that whole part of the city, but, you know, adding some validity to some of these other things that we're doing and getting sort of a, you know, a scorecard, if you will, on some of the things that we've got going on. So I'd like to challenge each one of us to start thinking about that, spending some time with that. Oscar, I know you're getting ready to go on a scheduled vacation for a few days. He's going to be out, but we talked about getting some time with council to give him some direction in his area of the world and trying to really bring that to light as to what's going on there. So I just wanted to throw that out there for y'all and realize that apart from all of the other things that we have to do, I think we need to, I want to start adding that to this agenda and utilize that at a little bit more effective rate than I think we are. So, Rick?
One of the things we talked about when we met was as a part of the budget process, as we go through the workshops, the auditor should come forward and present the scope of work that he's planning to do for the year to get your input on what you might want to add or delete or amend. And then you actually approve the scope of work that he does. And of course, you have the right to amend that at any time during the process. But the value of that is if there are certain resources that are needed, we're in the budget process so that we can plug in those resources to meet the scope of work that you're asking. And I had even suggested that although a lot of what he does is to evaluate how well our policies are working and how well we're adhering to them, sometimes there's just analytical data that may be helpful for you to make policy decisions or other decisions. And we've talked about the fire free, for instance, and what it really costs and what does it take getting out there and back. And these may be some avenues that we can draw upon some of his resources. But I just mentioned that I think it'd be good in the budget process to dedicate some time in one of the work sessions as a part of the budget process and adopt the scope of work just like you do everything else related to the budget.
And yeah, I'll give you an example. We had an introduction ordinance tonight, 9C, John brought forth from the finance department. We're talking about the drop program from 96 to 60 months. You know, that's just something that would, you know, it almost would be a perfect fit that, right. That Oscar goes in, sits down with John and says, all right, here's what we're doing. So John gets his case of, here's what we're doing, this is what we're looking at, this is why we're doing that. And then just get, you know, just the raw, you know, numbers from an audit standpoint to say, look here, here's where it's at, here's right. Where it's going, here's where it's headed. And that sort of correlation between the two, just to sort of have that, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Balance to go through some of those things and you know, not just, you know, how many trash cans we got in the city of Ocala, and you know, can we reduce the number kind of deal, and not bringing right. Bringing some more validity to that and working with each of the departments. So I just want to challenge us to
yep.
add to the workload to kind of from oversight from that standpoint to give some real good direction. I think it would help benefit all the departments as a whole. I know it would be a great
Absolutely.
Benefit to Oscar to start looking at that and having a little more direction. So, Oscar, is there anything you want to add to this? Because I'm going to start putting you on the agenda. You're going to have to get, you're going to have to start making friends with that microphone right there. We got, can you come on up here? Angel's going to get us for not being close enough to the mic. Happy New Year.
I'm not really good at doing this, you know.
You will be.
If you stay here.
You will be.
So I am already done with the annual audit plan, as I discussed with you the last time we talked. And the scope of work that you mentioned is already there as well. And I am ready to give it to you, all of the council members.
Let's go ahead and email it to them. Or provide copies, we'll put it in their mail, whatever we need to do.
Whatever you've got right now, if you'll go ahead and start getting that to us as we have questions. But again, even as we move into the next council meeting, you know, if we've got questions, we want to see, you know, what it is you're doing, what's going on, your scope of work, everything that you're talking about, and give us some reports so we can see that, have council input, help you with some direction, other departments and steering through, and so we can, you know, kind of make everything fit on that. So if you could get that to us, I know you're leaving, I can't remember. 19th?
Yeah.
Then you'd be out. Okay, so.
If we can get that out to them so they have time to review it while you're gone.
Okay, I'll give it to you tomorrow.
Then you can have some discussion upon your return.
Mr. Priester.
Speaking of the 19th, you're leaving and going to be gone out of the country for a couple of weeks? Does the city auditor have a requirement there to have a replacement or an assistant auditor sitting in place that we should be staffed?
Well, right now, you know, I'm still searching for an assistant.
Okay.
And I have interviewed a few, but most of these people are, you know, asking for salary that's outside of the budget that I have right now. That's why I am requesting in front of all of you. Well, actually, I sat down with the president a week ago, and I guess, you know, I still need to get the consensus of all members to get an increase, a few thousand dollars, so I can at least meet, you know, halfway these people who are applying, I mean, who met the qualifications I'm looking for.
So we do have a couple out there that's got the qualifications, but we're a few thousand dollars off?
Yeah, I guess about the top three or four, I believe. You know.
Mr. President.
Very good. Did you? And that's one reason I want to try to get us to get information to John. Quite honestly, he sits here as a council appointee, and so we can kind of steer some of that and drive that and decide.
Absolutely.
And I want to get all that out there. Mr. Gwynn?
What kind of salary are you talking about, Oscar?
Right now, these top applicants I have are asking from 60 or higher, $60,000 and higher than that.
Okay.
And what's in the budget right now, the max is 54, I believe.
This is for an assistant auditor, correct?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys that do audit work in some pretty big firms, and 60 would be, for an auditor, not much less than an assistant auditor, would be a good salary. There's got to be people out there that want jobs.
Well, and the other
that
thing
that would qualify.
And again, some of as quite honestly, as Oscar sit here as an appointee of council, and I haven't, you know, maybe utilized or gone through that. I think it's good for us to benefit to drive to get some of that scope of work
right
in there. That's why I was asking him about his workload. I'm doing this. And I kind of think all of a sudden, wow, there's this need that I need somebody. What I want to get back to is find first the scope of work.
Right.
What is it that you're doing?
Absolutely.
Does it beg for another person? Does it not beg for another person? Does it beg for 10 more people? I don't know what that is. And
right.
We've got to get an understanding of what it is we're requiring of him, what it is we're asking of him, working in coordination with the other departments, and going through that, because he is a council appointee. So that's before we go just, hey, let's get somebody else, because that some of that scope of work may or may not be needed, and that's why I want it. And it may be important to me, it may not be important to me. You may have something that you wanted to work on, and so I want to try to, as we just get together and get that on the agenda. So if you'll get all that out there, Austin, we're going to get that on the agenda, and if everybody could spend some time and taking a look at that, and we'll start spending some time in our council meetings discussing the office of the city auditor.
Okay, I'll do it.
Sound good?
I can give it to tomorrow.
Be safe on your trip.
Yep, thank you.
Enjoy some ponce. Going to be good.
Some lumpy hat.
That lump, oh, no, if you bring some lumpy hat, no, that's real good stuff. All right, anyone have any other questions or comments for?
Thank you, Oscar.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Last chance, anybody in the audience, anybody got any pearls of wisdom they want to add to what we've accomplished here tonight? Anybody else on council? Y'all have a good evening. We are adjourned.
Yeah, that ordinance that I was telling you about people having to verify that they about illegal
we're not adjourned.
Workers, right?
Okay.
Ready to look into that.
Yeah, I've got.